Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to episode 6 of Metroidvania Mayhem. I am one of the co-hosts, Nick Stevens, and with me is Michael Kelso. How you been?
Pretty good. I'm thinking of starting to give us some nicknames here.
Nicknames?
I mean, mine could obviously be like Mayhem Michael or something.
Mayhem Michael. Metroid Michael.
Or Metroid Michael. trying to think of you, though. You got an N.
Yeah, it's a little rough. Can't like Vania Nick.
Nickavania.
Nickavania. Nicula.
Nicula. Did we try that one?
I think, I don't know. Yeah. Maybe.
All right, we'll think about it. I'm doing well.
Good. Well, here we are at the first of the month again, recording a podcast.
First of which month?
Yeah. At least it's within the month, right?
Yeah. I think we eventually decided we weren't going to promise anybody anything, right?
Yeah, it gets rough, you know. We both have other podcasts, and this one is still near and dear to my heart, but scheduling conflicts with the other podcasts kind of happen. Life happens too, so I want to keep us going. I know Michael does, so I do.
And honestly, these games take a little bit more time than the ones that I know, definitely the ones I do on the Two Dudes in a Mess. But in Genesis Gym, you guys have been playing some real doozies here lately. So
no kidding. Well, and with these games, most of them we don't have a lot of memories, so you gotta kind of start fresh. It's not like, I played this game when I was 10. Let's just refresh. These are all, you know, like this game. I never played till this podcast, so.
Same here.
Yeah. So sweet.
So we're talking about Cave Story.
Cave Story. Yes. No, we didn't. Maybe in the intro when you're trying to spoil it. I can't remember if I even let you say what game we're playing. So. So I think this was my pick, wasn't it? It was my turn to pick.
It was. Because I picked SteamWorld Dig, and then you picked this game, I think.
Yeah. And I've been wanting to play this game for a long time. You know, it was a free game, and I actually ended up spending money for it. So there's that. I guess I could have.
I did, too.
There's so many versions of it. You probably played the Steam version, right?
It was Cave Story Plus.
Plus, okay.
The Steam version.
And the 3DS version is actually just... It's kind of the original graphics with a few extra things, but we can get into that later. So there's a lot of different versions of this game, but, you know.
As my usual method, I actually did play two different versions. I also... Just to have a handheld version, I installed it on my PSP, because there's actually a PSP port.
Oh, wow.
And it's free. It's on just on the website. Yeah. Somebody's ported it to the PSP.
Well, that's cool.
So
it actually works like inside the PSP, not with emulation or anything.
Right. Yep. It's not emulated. Well, I guess it kind of. I don't know.
Oh yeah. But it's not playing through like a separate program. It's just a game showing up on the PSP menu.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Oh, sweet. I'm gonna check that out. So, all right. Well, you have announcements here. What kind of announcements do we have? Anything big?
I don't think we actually have any announcements. I think that's just. Carry over from my template for the usual show outline. So I don't think we actually have any announcements.
But if we were to have announcements, you could find it all on the Metroidvania outlets. We have MetroidvaniaMayhem.com. We have Facebook.com/MetroidvaniaMayhem. And we have a group, Facebook.com/group/MetroidvaniaMayhem. And what's our Twitter? I always forget this one. Metroidvania Pod.
Yes, Metroidvania Pod.
God. There you go. Wow, I got it.
You're better than me.
I just Googled Metroidvania Mayhem, and there it was.
Nice.
There you go. All right, man.
We do have some World of Metroidvania stuff, though.
Yeah, we do. I actually have one, too, so that'll be interesting. It's the first time I actually came fresh with some news. So
yours is probably the best of the news, so we'll save yours for last.
Okay.
Save the best for last. Yeah. Right, so on the new releases, the only one that I could come up with, or the only one that I noticed that I know that we didn't talk about last time, and I'm going to have a hard time pronouncing this game, it's Odalus. Odalus? O-D-A-L-L-U-S.
Yeah.
Odalus. The Dark Call. A somewhat boring name, if you ask me.
Yeah, it kind of gets lost. To me, it reminds me of some like, crazy PC RPG.
Yeah, and that's kind of what it looks like too. It kind of looks like a, I don't know, what's one of the old graphics, one of the old PC graphics styles, like an Apple II. It's color though. It was Apple II color. I don't know. It's like Commodore 64, Apple II.
Like
it's got the real pale look. I don't know how to describe it.
His face is all blanked out, and he has like a teal blue cape. It's yeah.
And your items and stuff are along the side. It's yeah. just I don't want to knock this game because I've never tried it. I just it's got the look of a game that I would not be interested in at all. No offense.
I may be interested. I'm looking at some of the screenshots now, and I don't know. It's like the aesthetic of it with the timeline. It's more of the Castlevania type. It looks maybe some Greek stuff. It says it's inspired by Ghosts and Goblins, Demon's Crest, and Castlevania. So it's got very positive reviews. It says 76
it does.
Reviews.
Yeah, so. I mean it's definitely more in your wheelhouse, I think.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I'd be willing to give it a shot. It's not terribly cheap right now, but it may eventually be. I may catch it on a Steam sale someday.
$15, yeah. Yeah, I've actually brought my Xbox 360 controller and actually have it hooked into my computer at all times, so I'm going to try to get more into the Steam world. into the Steam community. Because I need to get up on some of these games. So.
Yeah, we should. I don't know how effective it would be because we don't have a huge listener base, but we could do like a Steam group and everything if we ever really got into it, you know?
That would be good.
I think the Retro Junkies has a Steam group that I started a long time ago.
I joined it and I don't think I ever did anything else with it. So.
Nobody ever does anything with it, but we have one if anybody's interested. The Retro Junkies has a Steam group. You can find Nick and I on there.
There you go. I'm kind of afraid. My wife gave me the green light to order a PS4 when it goes on sale the next time.
Oh,
so I'm getting a little anxious about that. So Steam may not happen for me.
You know, I've been saying for the past year and a half that I'm done. I'm stopping at the Wii U. I'm not going to go PS4 or Xbox One. But lately, I don't know. Xbox One's been calling my name. I don't know why. I think it's backwards compatibility mixed with, I don't know. This is a little lesser known secret about myself. I'm a big racing game fan, and Forza, I've been itching for some new Forza action. So
I definitely prefer, I'm not a racing game fan too much, but I definitely prefer Forza over Gran Turismo. I think it's a little bit more friendly to the newer crowd.
It is. They got a lot of things. They got a lot of assist things that can help you.
Yeah, like
and then you can slowly back them off as you get better at the game.
Like that little line that shows you where to start turning.
Mm-hmm.
I
love the line.
Yeah, I'm a Mario Kart type racer guy, so I just want to go as fast as I can all the time.
But, yeah. I love Mario Kart as well. I'm actually pretty not too bad at Mario Kart 8 if I do say myself. If I do say so myself.
All right.
Anyways, this what podcast is this again?
Racing.
This is the Modern Gaming Podcast where we talk about racing games.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's all I got for new releases.
Okay.
On the horizon, though, I've got a few here. First one is Dragon Rider. This one is, I'm hoping this one's not close to being done yet because it's kind of got I don't know how to describe it. You're like a sumo wrestler / samurai man, and it's just really kind of looks pretty basic to me, but again, I hate to knock something I haven't tried, so I don't want to say that it's basic and just your run-of-the-mill Metroidvania. I don't even know if it's a Metroidvania for sure. I know it's an action adventure RPG because that's what they're calling it, in the style of a Zelda, but it's 2D, so I'm assuming it's in the style of like a Zelda 2.
Okay.
So, I don't know. It looks okay. The animations are kind of throwing me off a little bit, so I'm hoping maybe as it gets polished up, the animations will also get polished up. Okay. The graphics are interesting. I mean, it's different.
Yeah.
It almost strikes me as... like they're trying to do a Guacamelee, but instead of luchador, they're trying to do samurai, sumo samurai, and it's just, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not. I never was much into samurai, so we'll see. It's like I never really played those Dynasty Warrior games. I don't know if that's samurai or not, but
much into okay. That. Moving on. I can take a hint. Project Seal? Now, this one, I don't even know if this is a game. I don't think this is a game yet. I think this is just a concept that somebody's put forth. It's a Square Enix thing where they're, I guess, I'm not familiar with this Square Enix Collective. But I think it's something where, I guess, devs for Square Enix can put forth ideas and see if anything sticks.
Yeah, and I like the art design on this, if they keep it this way, because some of the like animated GIFs, you see like little wavy lines kind of going across the characters as they move. I kind of like that.
It's like it's hand-drawn, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's being drawn as it's being animated or something.
Yeah, he's got this giant sword, you know, kind of representation of maybe Final Fantasy VII or something. Some Cloud carries around, but it's like a medieval type thing, really dark.
Kind of again in your wheelhouse a little bit there, but I don't know. It does seem kind of like a mix between a Castlevania and a Final Fantasy type of a thing. You got a big sword, you know. You got some interesting looking bad guy characters.
Yeah. And I like the headline. So Project Seal is a fast action Metroidvania game set in a dark gothic world. That's kind of cool.
Cut down your enemies. They're big, but your sword is bigger. See, this is one, like I said, I don't really know if this is an actual campaign, because at the very top it says, would you back this project through crowdfunding? Like, if we did crowdfund this game, would you back it? It's almost like a precursor to crowdfunding.
Yeah, I guess you have to log in to hit yes, because they didn't let me hit yes.
Yeah, it wouldn't let me hit yes either. I don't know. I think it's just kind of like these guys are dipping their toe in the water, saying, hey, does this Metroidvania look good? I would say yes. Of course, 91% of the people who voted said yes. So we may end up seeing this one day.
Yeah.
Again, it's Project Seal. And it's a Square Enix something or another. Okay, this next one is called... I really wish people would quit naming these games so strangely, because I can't pronounce any of this. Mamadora?
Mamadora.
It's not Mamadora 1, 2, or 3. It's Mamadora 4. So I'm assuming there's been others. Have you ever heard of this game?
I was just assuming it was Mamadora IV. Like maybe there's an IV in the game or something.
Oh, yeah. I guess it could be IV. I don't think so. I think it's 4.
I think you're right. I'm just playing.
I don't know. I think it looks really good. They've got a really, really cool website. I don't know if this is their website. It's bombservice.com/momo4.
Yeah.
Lots of cool screenshots, lots of animation, a giant video at the top.
Yeah. It's almost, I don't know, it kind of reminds me of like Little Red Riding Hood. Like,
the main character is kind of a Little Red Riding Hood type character. The one thing that's really got me here, and I don't know if you've seen this part of the video, Nick, or not, but there's a part where the main character is standing on a lake or in front of a lake. And let me start off, because nobody's watching this video but us. So let me tell you, it's like a 16-bit, 32-bit, side scrolling. It's kind of like the graphics are no better than Symphony of the Night, maybe, kind of along those lines.
Yeah,
about that level. But the part where she is standing in front of the lake and you can see her reflection down in the water, I think that's just really cool. I don't know. It's a nice touch. All right. So next up is Stella's Adventure. Now this is one of the ones I want to talk about the most, because I think, and I might be wrong, but I think this is a game with a father-daughter combo, where the daughter is doing all the art for the game, and she's six years old. So the art for the game just looks crazy, because it's drawn by a six-year-old and going to be coded by, I guess, her dad. Or maybe it's her mom. I don't know. I think it's her dad. But it just looks crazy. I would be interested to see how it turns out as far as the way it animates and controls and all that stuff. Right now, it's just kind of a design idea, but it looks interesting.
Absolutely.
Stella's Adventure.
Things like that may be a pleasant surprise if it ever comes to fruition. Never know.
And the last game on the horizon thing I have to talk about is Chicken Sword. I know I've talked about it before, but I thought I'd bring it back up. Is it Here's something that's weird going on with Chicken Sword. I don't know what's going on. When I first brought it to your attention, it was straight up Metroidvania, maybe in a Zelda 2 style side scrolling. Yeah. You had a lightsaber. You played as a chicken. Well, now I don't know if it's they've changed the name to The Legend of Chicken Sword, and they've changed it into an isometric like a typical Zelda. I don't know if that's what's happening or if they're now making two games, a side-scrolling version of Chicken Sword and this Chicken Sword. But I think they've changed it to where it looks, the style is now an isometric, and it's probably more in line with Zelda, original Zelda, or Link to the Past or something like that.
Yeah, either way, it looks awesome. By the title, you wouldn't think so, but you know, the little screenshot I'm seeing is a chicken holding a huge blue sword killing these little robots that look straight out of Star Wars. So it's pretty amazing.
I'm pretty excited about this game. I don't know much about it other than just a few GIFs that I've seen.
Yeah, yeah.
And their slogan of a post-cyberpunk apocalyptic game about a chicken ellipsis with a sword.
That's awesome. So yeah, I can definitely see myself playing that game and enjoying it. So.
It's got a lot of style right off the bat.
Yeah.
That's all I've got on new games on the horizon. The only other thing I had to mention in the world of Metroidvania was I put it under major announcements, but it's not really a major announcement. Well, I guess it is if you're a fan of Legacy of the Wizard, but I guess Legacy of the Wizard is getting an unofficial PC remake.
Oh, okay.
Unofficial. It's more of a port. I don't think it's a remake. It's more of like a port.
Yeah.
To the PC. I think you can play it now. I'm not sure if it's done, but I think you can kind of tinker with it and play it now.
Okay.
So it's on the PC now if you don't have an NES to play. Or an MSX, I guess. It was also on MSX. So if you don't have that, you can go... I'll provide a link for it. You can go download it. It's free. It's only 12 megabytes, so...
Okay. Yeah, not too bad.
But you also kind of have to like the game Legacy of the Wizard and want to play it, so...
Yeah, that's true. That's very true. That game takes a certain taste, I believe. So, love the music, though. It has some great music.
All right, now, Nick, you told me earlier, but you have quite a cool little story to add to the world of Metroidvania.
Yeah, so I met a guy. I recently went down to Louisville, Kentucky to a Comic-Con type event called Fandom Fest, and there was a guy had a little booth set up, and he was showcasing a game he had developed that he just started a Kickstarter for, and this game's called Little Star. To me, it kind of almost looks like Metroid, Mega Man type inspired. I got to play a little bit of it. It controlled pretty well. I didn't really know what in the world I was doing. I know he's in the very early stages of this, but it's by a guy named Brandon Minton. And as of right now, he only has two backers of a $7,000 goal. I'm one of the backers. I thought it was cool that I got to meet the guy. I told him I'd give him a shout-out on this podcast because I asked him, is this like a Metroidvania? And he was like, yeah, kind of. He calls it a platforming roguelike. Again, that might not be quite the Metroidvania as we explain it, but nonetheless, it was kind of cool getting to talk to this guy. He's a real nice guy, so I went and backed the project, and if you guys would like to do that too, I'll drop a link on there, but it's called Little Star. He told me it was more story-driven than what it looks like, so I'm kind of curious to see that play out, because when I just played the demo, I was just jumping around shooting stuff. So, like I said, very 2D oriented. So yeah, go check that out if you like this kind of thing. You know, he's a nice guy, has a real kind of heart-wrenching story. I won't read it on here about his mother, but yeah, go check that out. We'll post a link for this later, but yeah, so it's kind of cool to actually meet one of the developers and talk to him. He had it set up on a PS4, so that was kind of nice. That's the first time I've ever played a PS4. Had no clue how to start the game. He had to kind of walk over there and show me. It was a little embarrassing, but yeah, it's kind of nice to actually meet someone who's making a game.
Yeah, that is pretty cool. I like the little... I'm looking at it now. I like the little spaceman.
Yeah.
That you play as.
So, like I said, it controlled fantastic. It's very precise. So hopefully that kind of translates to the rest of the game, too. You never know, though.
Yeah. Well, and he looks like he's in the very early stages here. So
yeah.
We'll see. Hopefully he can get to his goal. I'll look into it, and I might back it as well. And maybe some of our listeners want to look into it and back it. So.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe it can be like the very first Metroidvania Mayhem back game or something. Just
nothing but our listeners.
Yeah. He'd be forced to make more Metroidvania games.
Yep. Nice.
All right.
All right. So that, I guess that pretty much wraps up the world of Metroidvania.
Oh, yeah. So I guess we're going to jump right into this whole cave story thing, right?
Might as well. Might as well. All right. Do you know any history about it?
I do. I've been watching a lot of YouTube videos on this because I was real curious of, you know, number one, who made the game, because it's, we'll get into the verdicts later, but it's a really awesome game, and, you know, why was it free and all this stuff, and I got to do a little bit of research on it, and it was made by one guy. And I'm going to completely slaughter his name. It always reminds me of that old pitcher they called Daisuke. I guess it's Daisaku Amaya. And they call him, I think his nickname's Pixel, if I'm knowing that right. So it was the developers called Studio Pixel, publisher Studio Pixel. And it's actually, when you play the game now, I think it actually says like Nikolaias or something. Nikolaias. I can't even say the name. But it was released in 2004. It was freeware. Now it's on the Wii Shop, DSi, 3DS, it's on Steam, all that stuff. They've had many versions of it. They even have like a 3DS remake. It's all 3D. So it's definitely sparked the interest of many people. It has been classified as a platform adventure action game. A lot of people say it's Metroidvania. There's a little bit of controversy on that. Some people don't think it's quite Metroidvania-ish. You know, we'll get into that more a little bit later, but it definitely had a huge part in just this whole freeware in the PC, and it kind of, to me, you know, coming out in 2004, it was part of that initial wave of indie games, really, and that was kind of before, because I don't think the Xbox even came out till what, 2005, 2006, so this whole idea of an indie game, you know, this kind of came before that, in my opinion. So it definitely kind of paved the way for some of that. And it actually took the guy 5 years to make this game. He said he did it on his free time. So, you know, kids out there wanting to become a video game developer, so you get 5 years on your free time to make a game like this. But as far as it being, you know, like a 2D platformer, it's pretty involved. So that 5 years, he'd put a lot of work into it, you can tell. So that's kind of my short history. I didn't really research the guy as a person, but sound like he had a lot of passion for these kind of games, and the whole, you can tell it's very influenced by Metroid. A lot of Mega Man influence in there, especially with the boss battles, stuff like that. So, yeah, definitely has a retro-inspired theme to it.
Yeah, it's pretty... I'm kind of blown away by the games. These types of games being made by one person. Yeah. Because we've talked about two of them now that have been made by one person, but they're just so... There's so much that goes into it.
Yeah.
I'm just blown away that... And no offense to... what was the other game we talked about? I can't think of it now.
Dust.
Really? Yeah, Dust. Yeah, yeah. No offense to Dust, but this one also being made by one person, this one surprises me quite a bit more that this one was made by one person than Dust did.
Oh, yeah. And I feel like after playing this with the storyline the way it was, I feel like Dust kind of took a little bit from that, because both games you kind of start off as a hero and you don't really know who you are or why you're there. It's like, oh, wow, Dust kind of took a little bit of this game too. Just with in regards to story.
I think this game probably did influence Dust a little bit.
Yeah.
I could see that.
Yeah. And the storyline of this game is just fantastic. Really. It's
probably my favorite part of the game.
Yeah. I think you probably have the story down a little bit better than I do, if you want to jump into that.
It's a little bit, I will say that it is a little bit confusing, especially at first.
Yeah.
There's just so much depth to the story. I mean, you can't even... Just playing the game, you can't grasp it all, or at least I couldn't. But it's so detailed, and there's so much going on, and there's so much backstory even, that this is one of those games where, and I don't do this a lot, but this is one of those games where, as I was playing it, and I wanted to know more, and the game itself wasn't telling me more, I went and looked up like wikis and things to read more about the backstory as I was playing it, just because it was just so intriguing to me. But basically, and I guess we should say spoilers, right?
I mean, yeah, spoiler big time. And this has been out since 2004. I think everyone's got a good chance to...
everyone's had a chance to play, but let me say now that if you haven't played it, and we'll save our verdicts until later, but I will... let me just say that it would probably be in your interest to play this game before listening to the rest of the podcast, because it's a really fun game, and the story is probably the best part, at least in my opinion. So I really don't want to spoil it for you if you haven't played it.
But yeah, so hit pause, go take about 6 or 7 hours and go beat this game.
Right. But if you really don't care that much, and you're not one of those people that cares to be spoiled, then by all means, stick around. Anyways, but you start off, you basically wake up in the cave, right?
Yeah.
And you don't really know what's going on. The game doesn't really tell you much about what's going on. You just kind of wander around a little bit, and then you find a gun in some guy's house. And you just take his gun, and then you move on. And then you show up in this village, right? You eventually make your way to this village. It's Mi'kmaq Village, I believe.
Mi'kmaqs. I kept calling it Mi'miga. That's what I kept calling it. Mi'miga, yeah. I don't know if that's right, but Mi'miga.
No. It is. It's Mi'miga because there's that I in there. Sorry. Yeah. No, it's Mi'miga Village. That's right. And the Mi'migas are, like, they're basically rabbits, right?
Yeah. Again, dust, right? Well, dust is kind of foxes. So, yeah. Again, it makes me feel like dust was ripping this game off. But anyway, sorry.
This game is full of rabbits and people. So it's people and rabbits, right?
Yeah.
But everybody, the people, the Mi'migas are, they're all these rabbit things. And they're the ones that are indigenous to this floating island that you're on, which is, I guess, I don't know if that's a spoiler, but anyways, you're on a floating island. This cave is a floating island. Anyway, so you're in the village. You find out that there's this girl in town that's just causing everybody all this stress. Her name's Sue, right? And so somebody keeps capturing all these Mi'migas because they're trying to get to Sue. So all these Mi'migas are getting captured, right? I also want to say this. This game's it sounds silly right now because I'm talking about these rabbits walking around. So, but as silly as it is, it's got a very serious tone to it.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, there's a lot of serious, heavy moments to the game. But anyways, so eventually you find out that these red flowers will turn these Mi'migas into giant, hulking, vicious Mi'migas, right? And the main protagonist, or antagonist in the game, is trying to capture a bunch of these Mi'migas and feed them the red flowers to turn them into an army of the giant, mean Mi'migas. And Nick, feel free to interject anytime because I'm probably missing something here or there.
Yeah, and the main character's a robot, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know when you find that out because that's kind of a spoiler too. Or at least it was to me. You find out that you are a robot, military robot from the surface.
And when I looked online because I didn't know the guy's name. I guess his name's Quote, which I didn't see.
Yeah, I didn't notice that in the game either.
Yeah,
I noticed it in reading. His name's Quote.
It made me want to know, was it like quotation marks in the game, or was it just the word Quote? I never did see that, so kind of weird. Anyways.
Yeah, I don't know. That's interesting. the main bad guy, he was part of some kind of science crew that was sent to investigate this island. I guess let me go to the overarching story. The overarching story is that these scientists came, they discovered something on the island. I can't remember what it was. What was it called?
I don't know.
Anyways, there's something on the island that the humans wanted.
The demon crown? Is that what it was?
Maybe that's what it was.
Yeah.
That's probably what it was. Okay. That's like the main thing that the guy gets at the end.
Yeah.
So anyways, so they discovered they want this. So the humans actually attack this floating island and try to take it. And you were one of the robots that were fighting for the humans trying to take the island originally. So that was kind of something. That's the overarching backstory or at least the way I gathered it.
Yeah, absolutely. You kind of nailed it. I had to actually go back because I played this game about 2 weeks ago and like got about 75% of it done and kind of stopped. And I almost forgot some of the story, so I had to go back and kind of really read into it to figure out what I was doing. But
Yeah. So you're trying to rescue the Sue character and stop the doctor, which was one of the original scientists who came to the island. He's the one that's trying to build this army and attack the surface. So that's basically the premise of the game. But what really got me was you meet this other robot, right? Her name's Curly.
Yeah.
She was like your partner in crime, but neither one of you know who you are because you both got amnesia or whatever.
Yeah.
So you meet Curly, and Curly is she's the other military bot that was with you whenever you were attacking originally. So, you know, you're fighting with her for a long time at near the end of the game, and when you go to defeat the core of the island, the place floods, and you can't breathe underwater, but Curly can, and so the game is one of those moments in the game where it kind of makes you die. It forces you to die.
I freaked out when that happened. Like I just did that about 3 hours ago. I was like, oh, what's going on? And all of a sudden, you're in that big bubble, right?
Yeah, and you wake up and you're in the bubble, which is Curly's bubble. But you see Curly, she's there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, anyways, that was one of the feels. It gave me the feels, that one of those moments that, one of those heartbreaking moments.
A lot of heartbreaking moments. I mean, there's a lot of humor in this game, but there was one character in particular. I think his name was Toroko. One of the ones that got kidnapped, and he seemed like the nicest guy in the world, and you go to save him, and all of a sudden they turn him into one of them big evil things with the red flower, and you almost feel like oh, I gotta kill him now. And once you're done, it's just like, I want revenge, because you just made me kill this nice guy.
And they do that several times too. They do it near the end too with Sue, I think, when you finally get you finally get to where you think you're saving Sue and one of his minions. What was the witch's name?
Misery.
Yeah, Misery. Yeah, like he. I guess Misery, I can't remember what she did, but he. It's been a while since I played this game, so I apologize. Misery, he ends up putting Misery and Sue together in some kind of big monstrosity, and you have to fight them, and you're like, well, I don't want to do this, but, you know. There's so many little moments like that, too.
Yeah, and then, of course, you got my favorite character, Balrog, who's basically a toaster who acts like the Kool-Aid man, because every time he comes on the screen, he's like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's hilarious. Hey, I got a quick question to interject with here. Was the guy who made the game, was he Japanese? Was the game originally in Japanese?
I would think so.
So who ended up translating it then? Did he translate it himself too?
I don't know. That's a really good question.
Because it's translated really well if it was originally done in Japanese.
Especially if it was freeware. I mean, you would really have to get someone to do that. It wasn't going to make any money from it.
Yeah, really.
That's a good point.
Huh. I don't know. That's just something I just now thought about.
Yeah.
But here's one of the cool things about the game. I'm pretty much done with the story because eventually there's multiple endings, which is another cool thing. But eventually you get to the end and you save the island. Blah blah blah. You know, actually the island. I think the ending that I got, the island comes crashing down, stops floating.
Yeah. Is that where you're kind of? You kind of take off on. That's not when you leave on the dragon. That's when you actually beat the game, right?
Yeah. I did do that. I did do the one where you leave on the dragon, too. That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
And there is an ending to the game. Nick, I'll let you describe it.
Yeah, and the one that's... I don't know if you want to consider it an ending because you get to continue once you do it, but if you just jump off of the whole island at that part, it just says, and he was never heard from again. And then it says, would you like to retry? So I don't know if you want to consider that an ending, but I thought that was kind of funny.
It's just, I would call it. It's just funny. But there's multiple endings. The normal ending is what I would call it, is the one where you just make it to the end, beat the game, and you fly off. I guess you get caught, you fall through the air, and the island's falling, and you get caught by the dragon.
Yeah.
And fly off. But there's another ending where you... Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, and I looked up online how to unlock, like, the perfect ending, which it was just ridiculous. You had to do all these weird things in order and make sure you pick this item up at this time, and it looked almost... I don't know how someone would even know how to do that without a strategy guide, but I encourage anyone who's played this game and hasn't got the perfect ending, go check out how you're supposed to do that, because it's crazy.
The perfect ending is really pretty cool, because...
Yeah.
This is something also that the game does, and we may talk about this again in the gameplay, but you get new weapons as you progress in the game.
Mm-hmm.
But if you skip weapons, or if you decide not to get certain things, then other weapons and other items open up.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, it rewards you for skipping. But the problem is you don't really know when to skip. But that's kind of what happens in the game to get the best ending. Because, you know, we talked about the Curly sacrificing herself part, right? Well, you can save her if you skip the jetpack, which is, to me, one of the coolest items in the game. So I really don't want to skip it. But at some point you get a jetpack, and it's really fun item. But if you skip it, and I can only imagine it makes the game almost impossible if you don't have the jetpack. But if you skip the jetpack, you can ultimately get something called a tow rope, and you can tow Curly out of the out of there and fix her, and then a bunch of other stuff happens, and you have to do a bunch of other stuff too. But that's the main thing, and then you can get the perfect ending.
See, and that, I thought that was kind of interesting, because the tow rope's not even there if you get the jetpack, right?
It's there's no chance to get
it. Okay.
Of course, I haven't got the perfect ending either. I just read about this. I didn't know. I didn't know about it. I don't know how you would know to skip that part.
Yeah, I watched it online. It was pretty crazy, but yeah. Yeah, it's a pretty good story there. Again, I don't think it was too bad of a spoiler. I think it's probably, if you never play this game, it might be so confusing.
I totally did that on purpose. It wasn't because I just, brain is so scattered that I can't keep anything straight.
Everything you said made perfect sense to me because I've played it, but I think if someone was looking in at this from the outside, they would be like, what in the world's going on? So.
But maybe it's what in the world's going on. I got to find that out.
Exactly.
That's the idea.
But the characters are very, the way they develop are fantastic. I like Balrog because he's kind of a bad guy. He kind of helps you out later on. He's just always there, just spoiling your fun. With these boss battles and jazz, we'll get more into that later. But
he's hilarious too.
Oh yeah, hilarious.
he's always funny, and the interaction between him and Misery is always.
Oh yeah, too. Yeah. And I think the very first thing he says when you see him in a game is like, it's some made up word like "huzzah" or something like that. It's like what? But yeah,
I'm assuming he's a toaster.
He looks like a toaster.
I don't really know. I don't really know. I guess he's a robot. I don't know.
Yeah.
He looks like a toaster.
He does. And when he catches you in some of the battles, it's like, did he just put me in his toaster? Am I going to pop out a piece of toast? But, yep.
Yeah. I think that's about all we can say about the story.
Yeah, absolutely. It's probably a good time to just talk about how the game plays now.
Yeah, well, I might as well.
Yeah.
So what did you think about the controls?
I love the controls. I thought this was a great game. I thought it controlled very smoothly. I don't want to say a learning curve, but it's a little floaty when you jump. You get used to it really quick. But if you would just kind of go down the first hallway when you start and just start jumping, you're probably going to get killed by all these spikes. So you got to kind of learn the technique of how to jump and everything. But I thought the aiming was spot on with your weapons. Control was no problem at all for me, especially when you get that jetpack. Like you said, that was probably the best power up to get, especially the ones you get where you're going left to right and everything. It made some of those parts in the game make you feel like you're some superhero just getting through some of those tight little areas. You had the jetpack up, down, left, right. So I definitely like the controls overall. No problem for me at all.
I agree with pretty much everything you said. My only complaint was that the jumping felt a bit floaty. But again, like you said, it's something you kind of get used to, and then once you get used to it, I didn't even really notice that it was, I mean, it's still floaty, but it felt natural, so I had no problem with that. And like you said, again, the shooting was precise. The jetpack was awesome. I love using the jetpack, so.
Yeah.
The controls were definitely spot on.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I had no problem. And what's what I liked about the boss battles, I would usually die the first two or three times when I fight, but you'd learn the patterns, and it was just really easy to control. I felt like I was playing Mega Man a lot, just with how I learned their patterns and had to work around the game just to be able to play, actually be able to beat the boss in a good way. So it definitely had that good feeling, like I was playing a Mega Man or something.
Yeah, and it's one of those games where if you die or if you screw up, I felt like it was my fault. You know?
Yes, exactly.
I didn't feel like, I didn't blame the game. I never blamed the game when I died. I always just, well, crap, I'm going to try again. Yeah.
Well, and you have a choice of a few weapons, and each weapon kind of has its advantages and disadvantages. And you kind of learn which to use in which scenario. I don't know. I felt like I'd try to unload as many of those missiles as I could on a boss. And then, you know, sometimes you could use those little flames that would hit the ground and roll if you were kind of had the high ground and stuff like that. So I don't know. A lot of cool techniques you can use. I don't really think there's a right or wrong one. Just kind of go, kind of do.
No, it's just kind of your preference.
Yeah,
you know? I think that'd be a good place to just kind of skip. We skip around a bit. Let's go ahead and talk about gameplay because I do want to talk about the weapons and like the level up system.
Yeah,
because it's not, you don't level up your character. Like, you never actually level up your character. You level up the weapons, but they don't stay leveled up, do they?
No, and I really thought I was leveling up my character when that happened until I got hit, and then I de-leveled one of my weapons. So I was like, whoa, that's weird. I think it's one of the first times I've seen that. You know, you get a little bit of that in Legend of Zelda when you have your... You kind of start with like a sword that shoots out another sword, and then you get hit. You lose it. Kind of the same.
I like that description, by the way.
Yeah,
you have a sword. You got a sword, shoots out another sword.
Yeah, I don't really know what that's called, but but it reminded me of that. But you know, each weapon goes what to 3 levels, I believe.
Yeah, 3 levels. Yeah,
and so when you kill enemies, they kind of drop many. They look like many pieces of the Triforce, and as you pick those up, you level that up. And the cool thing is, if one weapon's really high level and another one's low, you can kill the guy with a high level weapon, then switch to a low level weapon, mm-hmm. pick up all those little.
I did that all the time.
Yeah, oh, I did too. I did too. So that was kind of neat. But yeah, I thought that was kind of neat. There were a few complaints out there on some reviews on the internet that they didn't like that system. I actually thought it was kind of cool. I don't know.
It felt different. I really liked it because it felt different.
Yeah. But was there 4 types of weapons?
Here's the thing. There's actually a lot more than that. But again, it's you have to skip things and not get... Like, I think there's a different missile launcher that you can get if you skip the first missile launcher.
Okay.
You get another one later in the game that has more missiles but not as powerful or something. And then... I don't know. There's a upgraded... There's a machine gun you get. I guess you get that from Curly anyways, though, don't you? I can't remember.
Yeah,
but yeah. But if you skip getting the machine gun from Curly, you can get something else.
See, and I thought that machine gun was my favorite because I like getting it powered up all the way, and you can kind of use it as a jetpack before you get a jetpack.
I did like the machine gun quite a bit. Yeah. There's a weapon in the game that I didn't get, and I don't even know how to get it, but I read about it, and it seems pretty cool because it turns everything on their head. Did you ever pick up the Nemesis?
No. Is that the one that, like, de-levels into shooting ducks?
Yeah. Okay. You level it up into shooting ducks, so you actually want to keep it at level 1. Because if you get to level 3, you just shoot rubber ducks.
so weird. And that's I heard that's if you trade in that sword for something. I don't know who you go to, but I read about that. Yeah, you had to like take like the sword you get after after King dies. Spoiler.
Yeah, that was another heart wrenching moment there.
Yeah. Which I don't know if you noticed this. I saw it on the internet and I had to go look at it again. But when you upgrade the sword to level 3, it actually has like little holograms of King as you throw the sword. It's kind of neat.
Oh no, I didn't notice.
Yeah,
that.
Yeah, I saw that on a YouTube video, so I had to go back and check it out. It was pretty neat.
Huh. So. That is cool. That was that moment again. Story. Oh. Not to jump back to the story, but I mean, he's like the last hero that the Mamigas have, and then he's gone. So,
yep.
Anyways,
revenge.
Yep, got to get that revenge. but I really like the weapon mechanic in the game.
Yeah,
and being able to mix them up and stuff. It kind of, in a way, it felt a little bit like a Gunstar Heroes to me.
A little
bit, just because the way you kind of mix up the weapons and stuff.
Yeah. And there's certain areas where there's just a ton of enemies coming at you, and you can't really go in guns a-blazing too hard because you got to kind of stay back sometimes. And I did that. I've mentioned this many times on this podcast and others that I like just going balls to the wall, and I couldn't do that here. I had to hang back a little bit and get up on a platform, maybe shoot some of those I don't know what that thing was called, but like the flames that would hit the ground and roll. Mm-hmm. Like that was kind of a neat little strategy to do. And once I got the jetpack, I could kind of jet myself up and shoot down.
Or get underneath them and then bubble them
together.
Yeah.
Yeah, that works too.
No, but that's another cool thing about that level up mechanic. It causes you to not want to just jump in because while you may have enough life, you don't want to de-level your weapon. So
yeah, absolutely.
So I think that's cool.
Yeah.
As far as upgrading your character, the only thing you can do is really, you can pick up heart containers, I guess. That increase your max life. But other than that, there's really nothing you can do for your character other than pick up, I guess, upgrades a little bit here and there.
Yeah, and did you pick up like more capacity for your missiles too? It's kind of like a
yeah, you can do that.
Yeah, it's kind of like kind of like Metroid type stuff there.
Yeah.
So okay. Yeah, as far as this game, you know, we had a few comments on our Facebook page about this game not being a Metroidvania. I think it is. I think it's a little bit different than your basic Metroidvania of one huge map and unlocking it. And you kind of have levels, and in each level, there is a lot of backtracking. Like, I can't get through this area without the jetpack, or I can't get through this area without the key. So you're going back and forth. I consider that a Metroidvania. It's not as thick as a Metroidvania as like Super Metroid or Symphony of the Night would be, but it's definitely in my book a Metroidvania. I don't know if you would agree with that or not.
Yeah, I would say it's a very loose Metroidvania because there's not really any exploration. It's more, but there's a lot of backtracking based on the items that you get. So, but they're all within this, like you said, they're all kind of within the confines of the level.
Yeah. It's definitely more of a Metroidvania than Dust was.
I would say that. I would agree with that.
Yep.
But yeah, I would call this Metroidvania. I mean,
yep.
It's like I said, it's kind of a loosely based Metroidvania. It's not as hardcore as actually Metroid or Castlevania, but we got to be a little loose here, you know. We can't always say it has to be just like that.
And always go back to the jetpack, because once you get that, you go back to like some of the main areas you've already been. You can kind of shoot up a little easier and get to other parts of the stage you couldn't before. So it's definitely got that whole I need this item before I can get to this level area of the stage. So it has that aspect, in my opinion.
Yeah, and that's kind of our that's been our thing from the start. That's how we've classified, right? You pick up an item, go to a new area.
Yeah, and you know, if you just want every Metroidvania in the world to be boring, you know, it's gonna. We don't want them all to have the same formula. I mean, it needs pieces of the formula, but I don't want every game to look exactly like Castlevania. So,
yeah, I agree.
Some of them I do want to
look
like
Castlevania. Are you sure you do? Are you sure you don't want everyone to look like Castlevania?
I mean, if they would consistently, like, that would be one yearly franchise. I would love if they would just put out a Metroidvania style Castlevania every year on the DS with the map on the top and the gameplay on the bottom. I'd be happy. But for other games kind of going with that influence, you know, it's okay to go outside of it. But when it comes to my Castlevania, I want it the same.
Okay, fair enough. Although I would switch the screens if I were you, because then you can draw on the map.
Right? I always thought that too. I never got that. That would be awesome. Like, you kind of circle, I need, you know, circle this area of the map and draw like double jump on it and stuff like that.
That'd be I think that cool. would be pretty much exactly what you would want in Castlevania.
Yeah.
I'm not a developer. I don't know how to make a game. So. The one last thing on gameplay that we haven't really talked about is the boss battles. You want to touch on those a bit? Because I thought they were pretty awesome as well.
Yeah, I thought they were great. It reminded me a lot of Mega Man, because you're in a very confined, small room. And it seemed like each boss kind of had their own pattern. So once I figured them out, I got through them pretty quickly. And
most of the bosses later in the game, if we're talking Mega Man, they're like late Mega Man bosses where they're huge.
Yeah,
and you have to jump up on platforms and stuff.
Yes. And like the one that I'm thinking of, that, as you said that, like the huge like vehicle that you had to jump on. That more reminded me of like Gunstar Heroes in a way, like you mentioned. So it's definitely got a mix. I think some of the early bosses where you fight Balrog a few times, that feels a lot like Mega Man.
So yeah, I really like the boss battles though. They're a lot of fun, and there's a lot of them too.
So. Yeah, and a lot of them are very like just kind of surprise you. Like there was one in particular I remember, these two dragons kind of circling you on a platform. And that to me came out of nowhere, because you open up a chest and it's like, I think the dialogue came up and said like, you feel a cold breeze, and all of a sudden these two dragons start circling you. So that was a little rough.
that's another little thing too that I haven't mentioned before, but the way that the dialogue works, it almost kind of works as half dialogue and half narration, because every now and then it'll come up and it'll just kind of narrate the story and say, and then he fell off the cliff or something, or whatever you said earlier.
Yeah.
And then he was never seen again,
you know,
or something like that. That's a nice little touch too, because not a lot of games do that. A lot of games will make you fill that in with your mind and watching it on screen. But this game kind of, every now and then, will just pop that up. I thought that's kind of cool.
Absolutely.
Well, what about the graphics, sound, music?
I mean, graphics. What would you call this? Like maybe a mix in between, like maybe in between 18 and 16 bit. How would you? I know the plus one,
so
maybe
like 17 bit.
17 bit. I know the plus version on Steam looked a lot better than one I was playing.
The one on Steam, the one that I played on Steam, you could do original or updated. So you got to choose which one you wanted, and you could go back and forth. Every time you started the game, you could pick a different one.
Yeah.
The original is definitely 8-bit, but with more colors, I would say.
Yeah.
It kind of looks 8-bit, but there's more colors than you would expect in, say, an NES game or something.
Yeah.
And then the Plus is probably 16-bit.
Okay.
Maybe a little bit better in 16-bit, but basically the 16-bit.
Yeah, and the 3DS version that was redone, it kind of looks like a badly pixelated PlayStation 1 game. I wasn't real big when I saw some gameplay of that, and so something didn't click with me on that. I almost bought that, and I didn't. So kind of happy I didn't.
I kind of agree because I think I've seen the. You're talking about the 3D one.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I don't really know what they were doing there. I guess they were trying to use 3D because the 3DS has 3D. But I think the 8-bit, both the original 8-bit and then the Cave Story Plus upgraded Plus graphics, I think they're both pretty awesome.
Yeah.
And the backgrounds, I mean, if we're talking characters and backgrounds, I would say that the backgrounds are pretty varied for a game that's nothing but caves.
Yeah, that's true.
You're doing nothing but being inside a cave the whole time. But there's different parts of the cave, and it's pretty varied. As well as Metroid does in varying a cave atmosphere, Cave Story does as well.
Yeah.
And the character designs are really cool. I like the character designs. Although, the main guy has, I don't know if it's like a little Bluetooth on his head or what it is, but he kind of looks like he's got a headset on.
He reminds me of like one of the Pokemon trainers from Pokemon.
Yeah, Ash. Yeah,
yes, yes.
He looks like yuppie Ash with his little Bluetooth. You know,
that's exactly right.
So,
well, one of my favorite parts about the character designs is like the opening scene, like when the doctor's getting ready to put on that demon hat, whatever one of that thing's called, and his shoulders are shrugging the whole time. He's like, you're just picturing like an evil laugh, which I thought was pretty cool. So I like the character of the doctor with that green hair, and he just seems pretty evil.
Yeah, although the doctor struck me as really strange, his interactions with Sue there in the beginning really kind of threw me off. I didn't know what was going on. Although I think Sue is a Mimigma, but I think she. But I don't think she always was. I think she was a human that got slowly turned into a Mimiga.
I thought they all were
Mimiga
humans. I can't. Maybe that's.
Oh, maybe they all were humans, and then the island turns you into whatever that.
That's what I thought.
Rabbit thing is. Yeah, you could be right.
But I was kind of a little everywhere on the story, especially since I was just trying to get caught up yesterday and today.
Yeah. So. Okay. Well, the music was really good too. It was on par with just about any pixel tunes music.
Absolutely, you know? And there's even some like really cool covers of people doing the songs from this game. So apparently, it was somewhat iconic with people. I really enjoyed it. I actually heard a couple like YouTube reviewer guys say this was the very first soundtrack they ever put on their MP3 players. So that was kind of a I don't know how memorable it was. I know that when I started it up, I kind of hummed the tune, so they're definitely stuck in my head. I really liked it.
Yeah, this is a case where again, Cave Story Plus did remastered songs also.
Yeah,
and I preferred the original music because it sounded more pixelated. The remastered version is really good too. I mean, they took out a lot of the pixelness of the tunes and made them more realistic sound. I don't know, realistic is probably not the right word to use there, but
sound like real instruments, probably.
Yeah, a little closer to real instruments, I guess. But I prefer I just thought the pixelated tunes fit with it better.
Yeah, and what you just said there, most people agreed. They went and changed it to the original music. Yeah, because they like that better than whatever that revised music was. So.
Mm-hmm. But the revised music wasn't bad either. The original music just fit a lot better. But the music in this game is great. I just thought in general it's great. And the sound effects, it's one of those things where the sound effects they didn't take away, but I didn't really notice.
No,
they just kind of fit, you know.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. I feel like I could just keep talking about this game forever, but
I know,
at some point I'm going to have to go to bed.
You know, yeah, tonight. I know. It's late. we got to rate this thing, get this episode going.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I agree. The music was great. Sound effects were, you know, like they definitely weren't bad. So I just don't remember them real well, to be honest.
Yeah, I don't either. I know that sounds bad, but I just don't remember them. Well, I guess we go ahead and rate it if you want to rate it.
Yeah.
Rate this game.
Yeah, let's rate this. Let's give this a game rating. Do we have a name for that? Or just Metroidvania Mayhem game rating?
I guess it's a grade, technically. We are grading.
Oh, that's true. Letter grades.
We're doing letter grades, yeah.
Yep. Okay.
Okay, so do you want me to remind you of any of the old ones, or do you got a letter grade ready to go?
I got one ready to go.
Okay, what is it?
I'm going to give this an even A.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Very nice.
Yep. Yeah.
I'm going to give it an even A also.
Oh, yeah.
I think so. It's going to be an A for us.
Yep.
You know, my reasoning is just it's probably one of the better games I've played in a long time. As far as a total package,
yeah,
it's free. I mean, you can't beat free. I wouldn't quite say it's good as good as Guacamelee, you know. So, and we gave that an A+.
Yeah, did we give SteamWorld Dig just an A?
We gave SteamWorld Dig.
Okay, because I felt like this game and SteamWorld Dig were, you know, neck and neck, really.
So. Yeah, I would put it on par with SteamWorld Dig.
I
would actually say that I like SteamWorld Dig just a little bit better, but SteamWorld Dig cost me money. This game is free. So
that's true. That is true.
So I would say that they're even as far as total package.
You know? Okay. Okay.
So ranking it based on the other games, I'm going to go ahead and reveal the last set of rankings. So we've played 5 games so far, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So we have a top 5. So that means something's going to drop out now. Because I think we decided we were just going to keep a top 5 running. Or do you want to just keep ranking forever?
I think we keep a top 5 running. I like that idea.
All right. Yeah, I do too. So right now we have Guacamelee at number 1. Super Metroid at number 2. SteamWorld Dig number 3. Castlevania Circle of the Moon number 4. And Dust at number 5. I think I know which one's dropping out.
Yeah.
Fairly easily.
Shouldn't be a surprise. Would you... I think I probably agree with you. I'd probably put this right under SteamWorld Dig.
That's hard, though.
Yeah, I know.
I kind of want to put it... I mean, if I had a choice, I'd put it right next to him, but I think I would have to put it slightly under SteamWorld Dig.
Yeah, I agree. That's tough to say, though, because there's times I'm thinking, I like this game better than SteamWorld, and there's times thinking, oh, I think I like SteamWorld just as much, or not a little better. So.
See, I think, for me, the story is what brings this one all together.
Yeah.
I probably like the gameplay in SteamWorld Dig a little bit better.
Yes. I feel like it may be a little bit more unique with its gameplay, with the exploration.
Yeah, it's the uniqueness of it I like.
Gosh, that's tough.
You got a coin to flip?
Yep. I don't know, man. Yeah, let's just say it's a little bit less.
All right, it's a little bit less, just barely.
Yep.
Okay, all right.
I agree.
Moving on. So, we normally talk about pricing and availability, but we've been talking about it the whole show. It's free for PC. It's free for your PSP.
Yep. I think I got it on a special for like five... No, it was like $2.99 on the 3DS eShop. I got it on some deals.
Yeah, oftentimes you can catch it for next to nothing. The Steam version that I have, I think I got in a Humble Bundle for $1.
Yeah.
I don't know how much it always is on Steam, but basically you can get this game any which way you want. I think you can probably play it on Mac and Linux even. It's so widely dispersed. So you really have no excuse not to play this game.
That's right.
And it's not a huge time sink either. It takes about 6, 7, maybe 8 hours to play.
Yeah. I was right at 6 or 7 hours, I believe.
So. I would say it's totally, totally worth it too.
Yeah, I don't think you can get a Metroidvania game shouldn't be much more over. I think 10 hours is probably maxing it out, Metroidvania style games. So
yeah, how long did Guacamelee take us to play? I don't remember. It seemed kind of long.
I would say 7 or 8 hours, at least. I know for me. I don't know. Yeah. Most Castlevania games I play, to actually beat the game, not to do all the extra stuff, usually take about 6 or 7 hours. So, you know, it kind of varies, but that's kind of where I'm shooting for when I play those games. I think these genres may, you don't want to get stuck too much in that. Where am I going next, rut? But, you know.
Yeah.
So.
You know, I feel like we forgot to ask a question.
Yeah, I don't think we asked a question.
Oh, man.
I thought about that a few minutes ago. I'm like, nah, I don't think we asked a question.
Totally dropped the ball on this one.
Yeah.
So we don't have any feedback then, dude. Do we have any just general cave story feedback?
I think we did. I can pull that up real quick if you want to sing a song or something. I don't know if you want to do that.
I don't.
You got your guitar.
Happy birthday to you.
You got your guitar handy? Or
yeah, it's back there. It's back there. Does it really take you that long? Do I need to break out the...
No, I got it right here. Cave story.
I'll play some Tennessee Stud up in here.
Yeah. Here we go. I just posted a picture of Cave Story on July 5th. Said Cave Story will be the main topic for episode 6. And I said, anyone play this yet? And I got some feedback here. Danilo, I don't know. I'm not sure how to pronounce that name, but it says, good game, didn't like the fact that weapons downgrade if you get hit, though. Another Dan, this Dan, I know, showed me up on Contra many times on your two dudes high score, but he says, entirely too many times. Great game, frustratingly buggy Wii port. Most of the reason I'm not a huge fan of Nicholas. Truth, I guess that's how you say that. I'm saying it like Nicholas, like my name. Anyways, truth be told, late, buggy, expensive ports. Casper here says, good, but not really a Metroidvania. Gabe Van Glider said, or Gilder, said, I like this game a lot. It reminded me of Metroid. Phil Fekiho, we got a lot of really hard pronounced names on this group.
Yeah.
Phil says, I played it on 3DS, had a lot of fun with it. And Rafael Rabalo says, I bought this game today. It's very difficult to buy here in Brazil. And our good friend Aaron Hickman, this last one here, says, I prefer the original. You grab it on PC for free. Also, how is this not a Metroidvania? So, I don't think anyone... Ooh. Yeah, no one ever answered Aaron there. So, there you go. We did.
Aaron
have some...
threw down the gauntlet and won.
Because he did. He just dropped the mic, walked away. That's how Aaron rules.
Now, I'm trying to figure out, did Dan not like it or something?
I think he
He's
just...
not a huge fan of Nicholas.
Yeah.
Because of late, buggy, expensive ports.
Yeah, I'm not really sure. I haven't really... I don't know much about that company, so no clue. Maybe if I Googled it here real quick.
I don't know much about Nicholas either.
I know me.
I wonder how much involvement the main creator of the game had.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. If this is true, this company's done The Binding of Isaac, 1001 Spikes, that game with lots of Vs in the title.
Oh, yeah. Lots of Vs.
Yeah, so it's... Okay. I didn't know this. Anyways.
Okay.
Maybe I'll sharpen up on that and we'll talk about it next time.
So, next show... we're supposed to ask a question for the next show, which we never do anymore.
Yeah.
We did it one time, I think.
Keep forgetting.
I'm not 100% sure which game we're going to cover. The next show was picked by the listeners, right?
Yes.
And the listeners apparently want us to play Legacy of the Wizard based on votes.
Yes.
That is an NES game, and I have a show called Two Dudes in a NES. So I'm not really sure how we're going to cover this, because to be perfectly honest, I don't really want to play the game twice.
No.
We'll figure something out.
We'll get creative. Maybe we can play the MSX version. Just kidding.
I still think that counts as playing it twice.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
So we'll figure it out. We promise that game will be coming soon. It may come via some way of getting Nick involved in Two Dudes and an Ass or something like that.
Yeah.
But that means that we'll probably go back to, as far as the game that we're going to play right now, it may go back to, I guess, my pick. Is that how we're doing it?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'll think on it and I'll let you know.
Okay.
I think it's about time. Personally, I think it's about time we go back retro a little bit. We've been playing a lot of new games.
Very true.
So I'll figure out what game we should play and then I'll let you know. And then okay. We can let the listeners know via Facebook. And maybe we'll remember to ask a question this time.
Got to think of a good one. Sometimes it's hard to think of a real good question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
All right.
People should go check out the Retro Junkies, I think.
Yes, theretrojunkies.com. It's all there.
Good sight.
It's all there. Oh, thank
you. Keeps getting better.
Trying to. I got a lot of white space I need to deal with. I haven't quite filled in yet, but yeah.
Well, we all know about you and white space.
I like the white. I like white space. I think it looks clean. I have people sometimes. I used to do graphic art for a living, and some people go, "Wow, that looks really clean," and I have other people go, "Too much white space." So it's just it's a preference thing. But
racist.
Yeah. when you see all my logos, like I did a logo for this show. I did a logo for Genesis Gems for 90s Entertainment Show. One of the old Retro Junkies logos. They all have lots of white space, so you can see my style. But anyways, and it makes it nice when you put those graphics on other things because I save them as a PNG. It goes on any color you want it to. Just clear and transparent. Good stuff.
But, I don't know. I really like our logo. You did well.
Well, thank you. I like it too.
All right. Where can they find us? Can you remember all the places?
Yeah. MetroidvaniaMayhem.com. Join our Facebook group. We're edging near the 100 mark of members. I think we got about 78, something like that. It's at facebook.com/group/MetroidvaniaMayhem. Our main Facebook site, facebook.com/MetroidvaniaMayhem. Twitter's at MetroidvaniaPod. And we are on iTunes. Please go and give us great reviews, 5-star reviews, great reviews.
Yeah, the reviews are getting a little... we got a bunch there at the beginning.
Yeah.
Kind of getting a little stagnant.
Dropping off.
I know. You know, I wonder if people realize that we know how many people listen to the show based on metrics, and we also know how many people give us reviews, and there's a pretty big difference.
Yeah, it doesn't line up. So if you guys enjoy this show, I do this spiel every time I talk to Genesis Gems, but this is free entertainment, and we thrive on your feedback. So if you want us to keep interested on this show, give us some good reviews. We really appreciate that. It kind of gets the podcast more... I don't want to say publicity, but it gets the name out there a little bit more. So yeah, go do that. I think we got 20.
It does give it publicity. Right?
Yeah, 23 reviews so far. So
I mean, that's not bad. That's pretty good.
Not for 5 episodes. So
maybe people are waiting on us to hit like a 10 episode milestone before they review or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Just give us about another year, and we'll get there.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, go check us out there. We are on Stitcher, and what's that other one you do? Spreaker?
Spreaker.
Yeah. Okay. Good old Spreaker. Pretty much everything. I know when Michael has his hands and stuff, we're everywhere. He is a outreach genius. If you go check out his amazing podcast, Two Dudes. You guys are almost at 100 iTunes reviews. Is that what I read?
Almost. Yeah. We were 2 away the other day, but I haven't checked it.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I applaud you for that if I haven't said so already. Great job on that show.
Thank you. It's lots of bribe money going out the door.
Yeah, but you guys even, I mean, your Patreon stuff is impressive too. I think that's great.
I'm really impressed by the Patreon stuff. Of course, you know, I think it's because people don't mind to give because we're just turning around spitting it right back at them.
Yeah, exactly. So. Like I said, free entertainment. So if someone wants, that's a donation thing. We've had a few people tell the gyms if we did Patreon, they'd give it to us. I'm trying a different route, trying to do some merchandise and make a little money off that and put it back into the podcast, but we'll see how that goes. But anyways, that's a different podcast. If you want to check those out, go to retrojunkies.com. We're all there.
Mm-hmm. Lots of good stuff. And like I said, I'll figure out the next game and let everybody know.
All right.
I've got an idea.
Okay, cool deal.
All right.
So, all hearts and minds clear?
Yep, clear hearts, open minds, brave. What does that go? How's that go?
I'm not sure.
Friday Night Lights.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. The movie or the show?
The show.
Okay.
Well, definitely the show.
Yeah.
Definitely
the show. The movie was like the reunion of Sling Blade. Had the kid from Sling Blade, Billy Bob Thornton.
Oh, yeah, it did, didn't it? Yeah.
I thought that was funny. Anyways, if you have nothing else to say, Michael, we will just catch you all later.
All right. See you.
Peace.